So this Ben Dawah lays out a meaning, a vision of the meaning of zazen. He talks in his other instructions, Fugan Zazengi, how to do zazen. And here's what he means by it. And what this, we call it just sitting, two little words. This is what he's the origin of our just sitting practice. It's his ideas and his intentions. And this is the perhaps the most expanded form that we'll get or need of what he means by the practice you're doing when you do just sitting. Again, what we call just sitting is itself a translation of his phrase was shikan taza, which literally means doing nothing but sitting. So we can call it wholeheartedly sitting. The just sitting means nothing else but, not merely sitting, but also, in a way, I'm merely sitting. I'm not doing 10 other things. But I'm just and only sitting at the time I'm doing that. So it could also literally be called wholehearted sitting. And so this is the whole samadhi of the wholehearted self. In his instructions for zazen, Dogen says, the ways are originally perfect and all-pervading. And says, in his very famous phrase, that he asks us to learn the backward step that turns your light inward to illuminate yourself. He says, body and mind will drop away of themselves and your original face will manifest itself. So this is an expanded description of that. And there's a third. I was thinking that there's sort of a trio of not very long Dogen texts. The other was the one we used a couple of years ago when we were in Forestville, which is called in Japanese Genjo Koan, actualizing the fundamental point or manifesting suchness. So that when you try to translate a word, a phrase, one of these titles, you can translate in ways that each are equally good and don't sound like they're the same thing at all. There isn't any one standard. So is it called actualizing the fundamental point or manifesting suchness? Well, those are the same text called Genjo Koan. And the Genjo Koan is the one that says to learn the Buddha way or to study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be confirmed by all beings advancing. What does that mean? Well, this is a description of our relationship to those all beings, how we are together in this. Dogen is saying, among other things, as I translate him, is that at every moment when a person wholeheartedly takes on the attitude, outlook, and practice of awakening, their whole body and mind and all space and beings everywhere awaken. Well, this also means that awakening is not what we have thought it means. Right? It's got to mean something different from what I previously thought. So everything kind of, in a way, gets thrown up for grabs in this. Including what is a person, what is wholehearted. You know, all of it has to be thrown up and come down in a slightly new pattern. And of course we can say, this is how the Dharma works. This is his premise. This is his hypothesis. He says, try this out. It's too big for us to maybe to really get, but try it out, try it on. See what you think. The second thing says is that all beings are always singing the song of Dharma to each other in endless voices, in endless reciprocity. And this, has been a deeply comforting thing. Because I can say, well, how can I be practicing? I'm awakening beings, doing something I do that affects all beings. What am I doing? Everything is singing the Dharma in its own voice. Oh, well, then I can be too. I must be somehow too. If rocks do it and trees do it, I do it too. And the way a stone does it, and the way a tree does it, and each tree does it differently, and every species of tree, and every individual tree, and each person. And they're less confused about their voices than we are. But that's all right. So being confused and stammering is part of our human way of expressing the song of Dharma. Going to sleep is also, you know, sort of in the while awake, is also one of the, is also included. We have a more differentiated voice, it seems, than a lot of other beings in the way of singing the Dharma. And we have a greater ability to confuse ourselves about it. And we're pretty complicated. And that's the way it is. That's, you know, some things are hard, some things are soft, and some things are complicated. And we're complicated. And there's a lot of gifts within that complication. So first he says, everyone taking on this, what he's calling Buddha Mudra, which we'll come to, takes on the practice, the outlook, the attitude of this wholehearted engagement is doing the practice of awakening with and for all beings. And then he says, all beings are singing a song of Dharma, all of us. You know, I can't understand very well a stone song. I can't very well understand yours or mine, but we can try to learn to listen and to speak. And the third thing that he says in here is what he calls the unfabricated means or his true gate. He's saying there's a key practice for people, not for walls and fences and trees and grasses. There's a key practice for people to express and transmit this radiant activity, which is this whole self samadhi, jijiyu zammai, jijiyu samadhi. A practice that fills and fulfills the self and pours out, pours in and pours out. I toyed with changing Buddha Mudra. There was another translation. The first one I was using said Buddha seal. And I kept saying, well, what is seal here? What's a Buddha seal? So I went back to Buddha Mudra. Because in fact, mudra is a word that we've all encountered one way or another. This is the Zazen Mudra. It's called Hokkai Joan in Japanese. And it has the names in Chinese and in Indian name. In which the hands, it's called whole world unified. Basically, unified world, all in unified universe, sort of all in one gesture, mudra, gesture or posture or position. The zazen posture is itself kind of a posture or mudra in which we can't all do it, and I often can't. I'm feeling flexible today, but we're knitted together in it. Left and right kind of disappear. We're still have a bilateral symmetry. These humans don't escape that, and there's no need to. Better off with it. With two arms, two legs, two eyes, two ears. But they get knitted together in a unified way. The parts are all in one compact little package. In Japanese, a daruma is a snowman. One unified little package. And they also make darumas. You know those little punching bag things they used to have? Where it's a balloon with a sandbag at the bottom and you punch him over and he pounces up? Those are also darumas, bodhidharmas. Mm-hmm. They bounce up. They're kind of this unified, seated. The aspect of that is that they have a nice, deep, basic, low center of gravity. And so that's the advantage of sitting down, knitted together, is this low, contained center of gravity. And it energetically focuses your entire body here. It's harder for us when we're in chairs. We can sit perfectly well in chair. It's more difficult, not less, because it's more difficult to settle yourself physically in a chair. It hurts less often, but we're floating around up there. So this is an aspect of a Buddha Mudra. So is a chair. It's harder to find it there. So a mudra is a posture or gesture that expresses something specific. In say, in our case, about Buddhism, I even had a little set of five little Buddhas on my windowsill, and one of them was like this, sitting in that Zazen unified posture. One went like this. This is the Abhaya Mudra, the fear not. Of course, pretty universal. I have no weapons here. I think is what it's saying. Abhaya Mudra. I come in peace. Fear not. Fear me not. I'm not the only one who waves my hands around. This is the Dharma Chakra Mudra. This is the Dharma. There are lots of them, but this is one. I've always been fond of the fact that the two hands are kind of waving around, although often they're circle in circle and like this. But there's versions of it. But
what's it called?
Dharma Chakra or Dharma Mudra. Dharma Chakra. Dharma Teaching Mudra. There's
this
or this. Well, this is combining two, fear not and giving. But the basic one is one hand here or there, and the other outstretched in giving, in generosity, in offering. And the fifth of that series is one that has also been very dear to me. When the world was chaotic, I found myself going like this. This is the world earth-touching mudra of Shakyamuni in his enlightenment time, or just before, as the stories go, he's the Mara and storms and all these terrible things are happening, and he's sheltered by the great Mukalinda, the snake, the great wise, I guess she must be a cobra, because she's got a hood for him. And somewhere in this, he puts his hand down and to touch the earth. The earth witnesses his right to be here. That's all. His right to be on the earth. He belongs here. Mara and all his hordes cannot knock him completely out because he belongs here. And I sort of discovered it sort of as a natural thing 6 years ago when my life went like this. I found myself in Zazen, just gradually putting my hand down to the cushion for it. So those are mudras. They all have a meaning and so what is a mudra? Buddha mudra will be a posture or gesture or attitude of awakening. In some senses, it can be said to have this form. In some sense, it has no form at all. Awakening is not one particular thing. I'm more likely to think that that's what I'm trying to pay attention to in my life when I'm going like this. That's one of the advantages. It draws a posture that draws me in. It's just saying, oh, I'm doing something here. It may be doing nothing, This is Zazen. But, and Zazen itself, coming in and sitting Zazen in any posture is we're drawn into a form, which is an enlarged mudra, of gathering ourselves into something where we know what we're aiming at doing. And we're still part of the Dharma world. We're still singing the song of Dharma all the time, but we're often completely unconscious of it. So this time, at least some aspect of us, maybe only my body because my mind is off somewhere else, is aiming at knowing that I am a being in the Dharma world singing a song of Dharma as a human being. In a moving universe, there cannot be just one thing that's the Buddha Mudra. We don't want to be rigid, but we want to find, one of the things about coming here, for instance, is that we put ourselves in an environment that reminds us of and draws from us aspects of ourselves that we want to be awake to. That's one of the basic meanings of Sangha. So in a way, Buddha Mudra is another way of saying this GGU Samadhi. So Samadhi. Samadhi means a lot of things. I think the most literally it means making firm. So in our practices, it means something like concentration, most traditionally. A practice of concentration.
I think of it as meaning prior to division.
That's fine. That's because we aren't, in a sense, we're doing a concentration practice here, but we're doing a concentration practice with no object. Whereas many Vipassana or Buddhist practices, Vipassana Tibetan, do a concentration practice with an object. In Tibetan Buddhism, it'll be most likely starting with a candle and graduating to a visualization. In Vipassana, you're doing concentration on various aspects of your body. Here, and those are concentrations. There is a samadhi in a kind of samadhi in any intensely focused, engaged in activity. Runner's samadhi, drawing. If you draw and you get very involved in drawing something or drawing where you aren't bouncing up and down anxiously with it, but just there, there's a samadhi. There's a concentrated focus. So our practice of zazen is concentration with no object. And then they say sit with as though your hair were on fire. You know, it's to aim to have that alertness and a kind of focused alertness, but to diffuse focus. There's no one thing you're concentrating on. And so it's the concentration before division, before we divide things into something here and something here. It can be very useful to do a more standard concentration practice. Even following the breath is the most simple concentration practice, and the simplest object in the sense. Not talking easy. I'm saying the most basic, most unitary. We're always breathing, but to follow your breath up and down, the object is where? Out here and here. It's the activity in motion, which is. There isn't even really an object. So it is a very useful practice. Just sitting doesn't even use that object. And so doing a concentration practice with some kind of an object is a useful way to get a sense of being alert and focused. But if you do a lot of it, then it's hard to do it without an object. People have spent years counting their breaths, often find it very hard to stop. So I don't recommend that one anyway. But so this. What Dogen says over and over is he calls this Jiju-yu Samadhi, Zammai. And we don't need to use that phrase. I think Samadhi, the whole self, or whole self Samadhi is fine, but we want to know what he means by that. There's a lot of, you know, what he means. And then we will have, and then that can infiltrate or permeate our use of a word whole. So let our word whole self samadhi include or come out of this called Jiju-yu Samadhi. And if you decide you'd like to use that word, use that. Ji means the self. Ju means receive. And you means you. So self, receiving, and using. The samadhi, it's intended to describe a samadhi of but if someone calls it something, it's really awkward in English, but self-receiving and self-employing samadhi is taking in, there's receiving, and this is a whole vision of receiving. The self receives. You get to receive and have a practice of enjoying what you receive and giving it out. But then he says, they don't happen apart from each other. Receiving is what you're taking in and giving out is all one breath, one moment together. So the whole, in fact, if we think we're going to do a practice of our own, it's going to be small and narrow. But I'm going to do a practice. Well, what is the self who's practicing? What self is enjoying? What self is practicing? Is it just I want to feel good today? Well, that's as much as we might get. So if I want, I'd like to try to include a lot of me, whatever I might be, whatever might be this self. And so Zazen is itself a practice of dropping my usual idea, boundaries of what it is to be me, so that it can be wider and different, and in many ways nonverbal, and touched and tasted differently. So in a sense, in Zazen, we have no name. In a sense, we do. We're doing it. We're sitting here by God, but or by Buddha. But at the same time, in the act of Zazen, there really isn't a name. It's this being acting in the universe in some very quiet way, and receiving life, and giving life, and participating. So it could be the self that receives the universe gifts and uses them for our own and others' delectation and benefit. And there is no, in that sense, there are, in a way, in the sense that there's self and other, they're endlessly giving and receiving. And in a deeper sense, there's no separate self that's one giving and receiving. But it has many parts, and I'm a part, and you're a part. In Japanese, Jogen is always taking apart a previous understanding, which it helps if you see. Coming into Dogen's Jijuyu Samadhi, there was Jijuyu Self Samadhi and Tajuyu Others. There's practice for Ji and there's practice for Ta, Others. Ji is the Self. And so there was a sense of you can practice. People would say, practice for the self is Zen, and practice for others was Pure Land, or chanting for others, or doing something like that. And he came along and said, no, this GGU includes both. Includes whatever is for the self and whatever is for others. It's one practice. So that's underlying this, is that there is a sense of there's self and there's others, but this is a practice and aiming to be. How does a person do the practice that actually the sun and the moon and the stars and the grasses are also doing? We have to do it in a human way, and they have to do it in a tree and grass way, and yet they are equally in some ways the same, this practice of self-receiving and giving. All things are receiving and giving. Or at the very least, in the more simple sense, we can't have one without the other. There is no self to have a samadhi of any kind who, without breathing in the world, eating lunch, sitting on the floor made by others, you know, and so forth. So there's what this text is, this samadhi of the whole self, Jijuyu Samadhi. So those are the underpinnings. I want to stop for a moment to see if anyone has anything that they would like to say, interject. I think it's fine to have something come in, just as you said, how you see samadhi.
So. Oh, well then, okay. I noticed several times he talks about such things do not appear in the perceptions of a person sitting in Zazen. So there seems to be a lot going on in Zazen that the person isn't aware of, even though you're sitting. So I'm wondering what that's about.
Well, you know, as soon as I start in Zazen saying, oh, this is what I'm doing, I'm busy having conceptual thoughts.
Okay.
That's one piece of it. Yeah. Katagiri's way of putting it was, don't poke your head in it. He would say, it was the guy who said his description of coming to do Zazen was, in his very sweet voice and smile, he would say, please sit down and shut up. He meant only kindness in that. So he would say, don't poke your head in it. Because something is happening And as soon as we start picking it apart and describing it, we're doing something about it that could be very interesting, but we're not doing it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that's, in a sense, what he's talking about.
It's not attained, it is not actualized without practice, it is not attained without realization. So that, to me, there's two questions I have. One is, so my interest this time around with this practice is to find openings for myself. You know, as a limited being and an ordinary being. And so I want to find a language that I can enter and that can enter me. And so the word practice, and I was talking, Bert and I were talking about this last night, because it brings up a whole set of, you know, I'm practicing to get better at the piano. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not really doing it. I'm practicing so that at some point mm-hmm. I can play enlightenment or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
And what Bert was saying was, no, it's not that kind of practice.
Yeah.
It's a, so you have to like define the terms,
right,
you
right.
know. So
yes.
Practice is something not like we typically think of practicing the piano.
It's not a rehearsal, not development. I practice medicine. If a doctor would say, I
okay.
practice medicine.
So that's
their act. That is their practice. My practice. People would sometimes say, my practice is chanting. My practice is right. This is my activity, my shaped, somewhat focused, aimed and oriented, but not goal of getting better. But what you're saying is really, it's really important. In the instructions to Zazen, his other, the Fukan Zazengi, is where he gives an underpinning for this, that's where he unites the words practice and realization. And he says they're not separable. We do practice realization. There isn't a practice leading to realization separately somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And he says, this is the practice of realization and the realization of practice, one at the same time.
Okay. And so that's the other question is, it kind of seems contradictory, unless I'm getting into my head
mm-hmm.
about it, this realization.
In that section, he does sound like he's saying this one and then the other.
Well,
is that
it could be happening, but you won't know about it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not sure. It seems like the benefit is in knowing about it.
That's a question.
Well,
that's an assumption. That's,
okay.
Right?
Well, the benefit is in having a sense of something being realized.
Yes. You may have a sense of something being realized, and you may have a sense of being changed.
In the moment?
In the moment and in longer, and outside that moment, and in the next moment. Mm-hmm. if we do something that is real, or we have a real conversation with someone, we are changed by it. Right? And sometimes...
Sometimes the expression
would be
to be
opened
by something.
Right. Yeah, because the question is, which way are we changed? Being open, you say, is one of the ways we would like to be changed.
I just feel like I've been opened by a realization.
So when I feel, if we feel more open, maybe sometimes even more vulnerable and more exposed, if we sit Sashin, a day of Sashin, and noises seem louder, and you know, we are silent, and we sense so much about each other in the room, and we are opened up. And so when we're more opened up, we experience something differently. And in fact, we may want to, in general way, be more open because we can feel ourselves like little clamshells, you know. And then getting that muscle to open up again is hard. But when we learn that we breathe that way, naturally. So there is, in a way, we don't know. Just as in Zazen, the moment when you say, start talking to yourself or assessing, you're assessing your Zazen, you're not in it in the same way. And what do we say for Zazen? We say, so now let it go. Because what's important in the zazen is just the fact that you've got a thought going, not the content of it. But sometimes, yes, we want to know what the content is. We want to say, oh, what is my zazen like? Not just is it good, is it bad, am I thinking all the time? Because something important is happening even when our perception is that we're thinking all the time. Especially if we're working with that thinking all the time, but we're really not thinking all the time. And we can relate to the thinking mind.
Yeah, it's like I was asking Griff last night, like, well, when I was thinking, oh, I'll never get there. And
yeah.
In that moment, it's like, well, if I don't feel like I'm really in my lifetime going to become this enlightened being, mm-hmm. does my practice still have merit?
Yes, it's a great question. Yeah,
sitting have merit? And
yes.
So what I'm hearing is that every time we sit down, whether we're aware or not, there's this activity going on. It would be nice to have some realization of that, I suppose, and maybe we do sense it in moments or, but that it's a momentary activity that maybe spreads through your life as you do it more, right?
Right, which is one of the reasons I like this, the seeing this as a description. What he's trying to describe in his language is wholeheartedness. So if I can keep returning in my zazen to wholeheartedness, it doesn't have a particular shape, a particular name, but I kind of know the flavor. And I keep returning that. So there's being wholehearted, and then there's wholeheartedly returning to being wholehearted. That's its own kind of wholehearted. That's why when Uchiyama describes that the whole swing of zazen when you're coming, going out, getting, when you realize you've lost track, out on a limb, and you come back, that whole circuit is part of your zazen, because there's a wholeheartedly saying, and now I'm going back to it. That's as much a wholehearted part of it as being here, somehow here, and we're moving beings, so we're always changing. So we're always, in a sense, aiming at wholeheartedness as the practice of zazen. Boy, that translates.
Well, but
that translates to the rest of our lives.
We're aiming at it, but we're not doing.
It's not our business to. You're not assessing. You see, it's immeasurable. Aiming at wholeheartedness is, in fact,
wholeheartedness.
Okay. The aiming, that really putting yourself, going that. What is human wholeheartedness? Going in a direction, in a sense, putting our energy in a direction, not being somewhere. And sometimes it feels like being, and sometimes it feels like going. But those are just two different names for something that when we're teasing it apart, there's no harm with teasing it apart, but we don't want to leave it that way. What we might want to do is forget about being great beings.
Being what?
Forget about being in great enlightened beings.
Oh, yeah.
Because it winds up depressing our practice, And the easiest way to see through that is that that's a big duality gap maker. It's out there,
right.
I'm here. This is the basic description of delusion, that this, it's a something else out there different from me.
Yeah.
Big delusion.
Yeah, and I'm already there.
Yeah. We're deluded enough, we don't need that. But just to be able to recognize that as the creme de la creme of delusions.
Yeah. So when you come across it in the language,
language does that. And not only does language does that, because our minds do that. We have a mind that works in a dualistic way. It's wired to
but
do
isn't
that.
Isn't it crazy making?
Yes, but it's also you can't speak without it. You can't have, unless you know different syllables and sounds and words, you can't say anything.
I'm just talking particularly about this. Talking about enlightenment.
Yeah, talking about enlightenment is
yeah.
A lot in Soto tradition, a lot of teachers never use the word.
Oh.
And then everyone thinks about it anyway, so I gave that one up. And it's now 7:30. Last thoughts before we close, if there are any. recite it, let it sink into you, and do zazen, and we'll come back and poke at it some more in our inimitable human way.